if you will, to the book of Luke. We'll be in the book of Luke. I'll be in chapter 19. Pardon me. Got to get rid of that. Luke chapter 19. I'm going to try to preach just a few verses. This is Palm Sunday. I don't know. I know we don't follow after trying to make a sermon for every Sunday and everything that follows along. But I was looking through here today at the happenings on Palm Sunday. If you don't remember what that is, of course, that's the day that Jesus came into the temple for the feast of Passover, the week before that He was crucified. We were talking about this over lunch. About half of the book of John, I think it starts about chapter 8, has to do with the last week of Jesus' life. If you look in these Gospels, a great deal of these Gospels have to do with the last week of Jesus' life. There's a great emphasis put on that, on what He taught in the temple and how He was desperately trying to reach those who were still undecided, and how that the door was closing on those who had rejected Him. There's an awful lot to that. And this Sunday was very important. This was the day which the Messiah came to Israel, and they were to accept Him, and instead they simply refused or could not understand. And so we're going to see in verse 37, and there's something I'm going to get from this. I'm going to be preaching, if you will, on stones of blessing. But there's a couple of points I want to make. We're going to be in verse 37 of chapter 19 of the book of Luke. So if you have your places, if you would like to stand for the reading, I'm just going to read about four verses. We're going to read beginning in verse 37, if we can. And here the Bible says, "And when He was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And He answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." And Lord, this evening, I ask You to please help me to preach this that You've given me to preach. I ask You, Lord, to move in our midst, Lord, with Your Spirit. Help us all, Lord, to understand and to rejoice in what You've given us. And we ask You this, Lord Jesus, in Your name. Amen. You may be seated, unless you'd prefer to stand. As we read this, we see this triumphant descent, if you will, coming off the Mount of Olives. The Lord was coming down, as had been prophesied, riding on that foal, and riding, coming into Jerusalem to go up into the temple. And we see it said, normally I've always thought of just being the multitude, but it says the multitude of the disciples. You understand He had more than 12 disciples. That's right. He sent out 70 two by two at one place. And there were several disciples. There was only 12 who were ordained apostles. And that was done in the New Testament before He was crucified, by the way. And He ordained 12 to be apostles. And those 12 are the ones we normally think of when we say the 12 disciples or the 12 apostles. But there were other followers. As a matter of fact, later on, we find that when Paul is speaking to the church of Corinth in the book of Corinthians, he talks about how that Jesus appeared unto Peter and then the others of the disciples, then unto 500 at once. 500 at once. Remember that those two that were on the road to Emmaus were disciples also. We don't know exactly how many followers Jesus Christ had. But we know that on the day that He was crucified, the multitude that called out, "Crucify Him," those were not His disciples. That was simply the multitude. The multitude that rejected Him. But there were those that followed Him. And we find among those, this multitude of disciples, that they were coming out, and from all the different Gospels, we read how that they took their garments and strode them in the way. And some took palms and strode them in the way. And there's significance to all that, but that's not what I'm preaching tonight. But they called out something. They called out Blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. In verse 38, you'll find that same thing called out in the book of Matthew. That's important. That blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. That meant something. You see, this was the Passover feast. And in the Passover, one of the rituals, or if you will, that the children of Israel did is there were certain psalms that they read at certain times. The psalms had meaning. And there were certain, you know, we've talked about how the songs of ascent, there were certain ones that they read as they came up to Jerusalem. There was those 15 psalms. Well, one of the psalms that was important during the Passover time was Psalm 118. And in Psalm 118, I'll read you one particular verse of it. Psalm 118 is that psalm which cries out about the Messiah. And normally, this was read out after they ate the Passover meal. As a matter of fact, in one place it talks about Jesus and the disciples, after they ate the Passover meal, they came out and they sang a song. This was probably the one they sang. This would have been traditionally the one they sang, is Psalm 118. And there's several things in there I can point out, but I only want to point out one. And that's in Psalm 118, verse 26. This was one of the things they called out and said. And they said, "Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord." See, the people called this out and they knew what they were talking about, who this he was. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. They knew that they were talking about the Messiah, the Christ. Blessed be he, the Messiah, the Christ, that cometh in the name of the Lord. You see, Jesus said, "I don't come in my name, but in the name of my Father." And they knew what they were saying, the disciples did, when they threw down their garments and they threw down the palms. And they said, "Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Or, "Blessed is the King," it says in verse 38. "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord." They said, "This is the Messiah." As Jesus was coming in, they said, "This is the Christ. This is the one. This is the one we've been waiting on." That's why the Pharisees said, "Hey, do you understand what they're saying about you?" They said to Jesus, "Don't you understand? These people are blaspheming. They're calling you the Christ. You need to tell them to be quiet." But oh no, Jesus wasn't going to tell them to be quiet. They were right. They were right. As a matter of fact, he was supposed to be praised and honored. And that's why he said, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." Now I want to get to the stones. Now first I just wanted to make sure that you understood what they were saying. They knew what they were saying. They were saying, "This is the Christ. This is the Messiah. This is the one. This is the hope of Israel. This is the one that we've been waiting on. This is that prophet that you've been looking for. This is the one that's been prophesied. This is our hope." But now Jesus said if these held their peace, the stones would cry out. That should have rung in the Pharisees' ears. Because there was another time somebody else had told them about those stones. John the Baptist, when he had come preaching, had told them about those stones. John, let me ring to in Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3. Before really Jesus' ministry, or in the early days, right before his baptism, in the beginning of his ministry, it says that in chapter 3 of Matthew, in verse 9, when he was rebuking the Jews, and particularly the Pharisees, because they trusted in the fact that they were born Jews. They trusted in the fact they were children of Abraham. And they would tell everybody, "We're children of Abraham, therefore we're blessed. Therefore we know that we have the promise." He told them in verse 9, "And think not to say within yourselves, 'We have Abraham to our father.' For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." Those stones meant something. Now, to those that were listening and all they heard with was a natural ear, all they understood was that John the Baptist was just making a big statement saying that God could make children of Abraham out of those rocks. They didn't get it. I'm going to tell you what, I looked in a lot of commentaries and I don't think a lot of the commentators got it either. He was saying something. God said, "Children of Abraham," remember that even Paul wrote about those that are children of Abraham are children by faith, not by the fact that they were born of that lineage. We are children of Abraham if we believe the promise that God gave. If we believe like Abraham believed, we're children of Abraham, spiritually children of Abraham. Though we not be natural children of Abraham, we're spiritually children of Abraham because we have believed by faith on that promise which God gave. And that was the raising up of children of Abraham from the stones. Because those stones were dead. Those stones were dead. They could not hear. They could not feel. And they had no voice. You know what they were? They were the dead and lost Gentile nations of the world. And of those stones were raised up children of Abraham. And what Jesus was telling the Pharisees was, if you shut up my Jewish disciples, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to raise up Gentile nations and those stones will cry out. Now it's impossible for a stone to cry out. It ain't got a voice. It can't hear and it can't understand, can't feel, it can't know nothing. But Jesus said, I'll do the impossible. If this nation of Israel will not praise me, will not praise the Messiah, I'll raise up from these stones blessings that'll come out. What I'm trying to tell you on this Palm Sunday is that if you were born outside the Jewish nation, every one of us was, you're nothing more than a dead stone that's been raised up for a purpose, by the way, to say, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. You weren't raised up, you weren't made, you weren't quickened, that means made alive, from being a dead stone just to where you could be a dead stone on a pew. But you were made alive so you could praise Him. Praise Him and thank Him. Do y'all know the difference between praising the Lord and thanking the Lord? You ever thought about that? Did you ever know there was a difference? There's a difference. If I praise Him because He gives life. I thank Him because He gave life to me. I praise Him because He's able to save. I thank Him because He did save me. I thank Him for what He applied to me. But I praise Him for who He is. I praise Him because He's God. I thank Him because He was willing to be my God. But you and I were called to be stones of blessing. We were called, that's what Jesus said. He said that the stones would immediately cry out. What would they cry out? Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Can I ask you, when's the last time that you gave God any thanks or any praise? Besides being alone privately where nobody could hear you. Because that's something else too. These disciples were thanking God publicly. These disciples that were there saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, were right out there where people wouldn't believe them. Right out there where people would make fun of them. Right out there where the religious people of the world would say, y'all need to shut up. You look like a bunch of fanatics out here and you ain't even right. And they went ahead and praised God anyhow. That's the reason you were given eternal life. Is to eternally praise Him. To eternally thank Him. And eternity, for those who are saved, starts at the moment you're saved. We don't wait to get to heaven to praise Him. We don't wait to get to heaven to thank Him. We're stones of blessing. We bless His name starting now. Or actually starting yesterday. If you hadn't started already, you're late. Catch up. We need to praise His name. We need to thank His name. We were yesterday down there at the store at Buddy's. And once again, we were talking to, and y'all know who Everett Coker is. And you know, I don't know his past. I wasn't here for all of that. And I don't know if it's good or bad. Don't make no difference to me. But when I talked to him 2 or 3 times, it don't take very long before he starts thanking the Lord. Well, I'll tell you what, good, bad, or indifferent, no matter what his past was, I thank God that he thanks God. I'm glad to hear somebody praise the Lord. And don't take very long before he'll start telling you that he likes to bring the Lord into the conversation. I know he does because he's told me that 2 or 3 times. I don't think he remembers who I am from one time to the next. But, you know, I'm glad to hear somebody thank the Lord and be glad to thank the Lord. There's a few people like that I've met around town. And sometimes it makes me feel kind of small because they beat me to it. Because they were thanking the Lord before I could even mention it. You know, that's what we're supposed to do. We're stones of blessing. We're supposed to bless the name of the Lord publicly, out loud, with our voice. Really, in front of people. Now, don't look at me all that strange. I mean you. I'm not talking about all the people around you. I mean you are supposed to. That's our role. And that's what I wanted to bring to you on Palm Sunday. Go about your way this next week and find an opportunity to bless the name of the Lord. And to bless the one who came in the name of the Lord. Find an opportunity to be a stone of blessing. Find an opportunity to go out and thank the Lord in front of people. And why should you? Well, I tell you what, if you won't do it, the Lord might raise up another stone and take your place. Because those He was talking to had every opportunity. They had the Word of God. They had the prophecies of God. God came in the flesh from right there amongst them. Preached to them. God Himself preached to them for 3 years, 3.5 years, whatever it was. Walked among them, talked to them, pled with them. And they would not bless Him. So He said, goodbye. I'll raise up stones to take your place. Now, the Lord has been with us, has given us His Word. Will you be quiet or will you bless the Lord? I guess that's all I've got for you. I'm going to let you chew on that. But what I'm telling you is you're raised up to be a stone of blessing. Bless the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Go out and find a place, find a time, find a person. Find a person one-on-one to thank God in front of. And fulfill that you've been raised up for. Well, I'm going to end it there. For Sunday night, y'all be careful. And I wish you well this week. I wish you all the blessings that God would give you. We pray for you and we pray for you. Not enough. I pray for you every day and I don't pray for you enough. But I want to do better. I want to try to pray for you more and pray for you by name more. I want you to have all the blessings that God will give you. That's why I try to preach what I try to preach. My goal every time I preach is to give you something to think about that you and I both can do better on so we might better serve Him. And I might come in here and see your faces lit up with the joy of the Lord, knowing what God's done for you and what He's doing for you. We'll dismiss here with prayer. Brother Don, would you dismiss us for a word of prayer?